Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
As we look at God's Word this morning, we find the disciples going back to the tomb. It is the first day of the week, and they're excited. They're curious. They honestly and truly, they feel like they have more work to do in the burial and the preparation of Christ's body. So they're going back. That's where our passage picks up. Chapter 20, verse number 1 this morning. The first day of the week, cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and the other disciple. By the way, this other disciple is John. It is John whose gospel we're reading from. So, to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down, and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying there. Yet went he not in. Then comes Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. May God add blessing to the reading of His Word this morning. Would you agree with me that we gain knowledge by listening and reading what others have to say about things that are important? Is that not two ways that we gain knowledge? We listen and we read. For example, if we want to know about an automobile, we would talk to a mechanic. If we want to know about electricity, we would talk to an electrician. If we want to know about a building, we would talk to an architect. That's pretty commonplace. That's very easy to wrap our minds around. But what about the things of God? More simply, what about the Bible? The passage that we've read today gives us some insight into that question. You see, Jesus' disciples had been with Him a little over 3 years. They had heard Him preach. They had heard Him teach. They had even sat with Jesus in private sessions where He had told them things that were exclusive only to them. Yet, they may have known a lot of information, but they didn't understand much. They were trying to grasp an understanding of what He was telling them. They had all of this knowledge, but they had very little understanding. That causes a problem. Maybe you've seen that in your workplace. Maybe you have seen it in society as a whole, where people have a whole lot of knowledge, they have a whole lot of fact. They may even have the truth, but they don't understand what they have. They don't understand what they're saying. They don't understand the ramifications of it. They don't understand the depth of it and how it affects their lives and the lives of those around them. Having knowledge is one thing. Having an understanding of the knowledge that we possess is something totally different. It is actually a responsibility of ours to understand what we know in life as well as in the matters of God. How often do we think about God's Word and God in general and what the Lord Jesus Christ has to say? How often do we take that serious enough to say, I want to understand it. I need to understand it. I need to know. Not just the knowledge, not just to be able to repeat the words, but I need to know how it applies in my life. The disciples were lacking. How do I know that? Let's look back at verse 8 again. Then went in also the other disciple, that's John. John went into the sepulcher, and he saw what? He saw that Christ was gone. He saw the Lord was gone. He saw that in one spot, the burial clothes were laid there neatly. They hadn't been torn off or ripped off or cut off. They had been taken off. And then he saw the napkin, the piece that went over the face of Jesus. It was in another location. And it was folded neatly. John saw. And John believed. What did he believe? He believed what Jesus had always told them over and over again. And if you have been paying attention while we've been going through the book of John, you will remember and be able to reflect on Jesus telling His disciples and those that were following Him closely that the day was coming when He would give up His life and then He would rise again the third day. Even His disciples did not really believe this. They knew it, they heard it, but they didn't believe it. And here, John walks in and he sees the evidence laid out in the sepulcher before him. And it's like a light clicking on. John says, aha, I believe him. I believe him. He got up and he took the burial clothes off and he laid them neatly. And he took the napkin off from his face and he laid it over here off to the side. And then he walked. John believed it, but that still doesn't mean he understood it. Many people today sit in churches. Many people today are listening to preaching at home on the television or on the radio, and they may believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and that they may be in the same spot John is in right now in this message this morning. They may have seen it, they may have experienced it, and they may believe it, but they don't understand it. Churches are full of folks today who just don't understand what they know about the Word of God. And it causes problems. It can cause a lot of problems in your life as a Christian today. Because if you don't understand what you know, how are you going to tell it to someone else? When we had the children up here, the best way to spread the good news of Jesus is what? To tell other people. Well, if you're going to tell someone, and if they're going to tell someone, then we better understand what we're talking about. We had better understand it, and we had better grasp it spiritually. We had better have a really firm personal grasp of it and know how it applies in our life before we start talking to others. Well, you know what I hear when I talk about that? Well, if that's the way it's got to be, preacher, I guess I just won't be telling nobody. I got news for you. If you could walk around with that type of an attitude and the Holy Spirit not convict you of it, you need to be checking up. You personally need to be checking up. Because if you're saved this morning and you're truly born again by the blood of Jesus, you are going to want to tell someone about it. You are going to want to talk to people about Jesus Christ. It will be burning inside of you. Now, depending upon how closely you're walking with God is going to depend upon how well you can deal with that and work with that. But the bottom line, what I want you to realize is that you as a Christian are not going to be able to walk around and say, oh, well, I guess I just won't do that. Your heart won't let you. You have to tell someone. Is that not what happened in our passage? When Mary Magdalene went to the tomb, did she not have to go tell someone? When Simon Peter got there and John got there, did they not have to talk about it among themselves and go tell someone? Well, when Jesus comes into your heart and your life, what do you think is going to be any different about you than about them? You should have a desire to want to tell someone. But how do we understand? Four things I want to give you this morning to help you in your understanding of what you know about God's Word. And these are not going to be things that you can walk out of here this morning and just say, oh, well, I'll check this one off, and 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 now I understand. It's not going to be that simple. These are going to be things that are going to require a change in your life. These are going to be things that are going to require you to put forth some effort. First, I want you to realize this morning that we can't understand until we start listening. We can't understand God's Word until we start listening to God's Word. Coming to church is the greatest thing that you can do in your life, especially in this mixed up, messed up, violent world that we live in today. You need to be in the presence of God's Word, and you need to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit working and moving in your life. But if you try to do it without the proper attitude, you're going to have problems. And let me touch base with that real quickly. Why do you come to church? That is a very pertinent question. Why do you come to church? Why do you walk in the church door on Sunday morning? There are a lot of answers to that. Many people that I have talked to, well, I come to church because that's where my family has always been, and I go there because that's where my mama used to sit, and that's where my daddy used to sit, and I go there to honor them, and I go there for this, and I go there for that. I go there because it's just the right thing to do on Sunday morning. I go there because I was raised in that church. I go there because, fill in the blank. And I've heard many of those. The only right and proper answer to that question, I come to church to worship God. That's the only proper answer there is to that question. That means the only proper attitude that a person can have for coming to church is to be in the presence of God and to hear from Him. If you're here for any other reason this morning, you're not listening. You're not listening. And if you want to understand what's in God's Word, you've got to be listening. If you're going to be listening this morning, you're going to be here because you want to worship God. Because you want to be in His presence. Because you want to hear from Him. You're hungry for that Word. You need to be hungry for God's Word this morning. You need to be hungry and have a desire for it to speak to your heart and speak to your life. We understand by being in the presence of God's Word. We understand by having it taught to us. We understand by working about it. Everything that functions with the church should be about spreading God's Word. The Sunday school should be about spreading God's Word and understanding it and teaching it. Sunday night services should be about spreading God's Word and teaching it. We've been going through the book of Revelation on Sunday night. If you have trouble understanding the book of Revelation, you ought to be here on Sunday night. It'll make a difference. On Wednesday night, we've been going through the book of James. If you have trouble understanding the practical aspects of the Christian life and the day-to-day routine of Christianity, you have trouble understanding that, you ought to be here. If we're going to understand the Word of God, we've got to listen to the Word of God. And if we're going to listen to it, we've got to be underneath it when it's being taught and when it's being preached. Neither can we understand the Word of God until we start reading it. How is your personal Bible study? How often during the week do you open your Bible? How often are you sitting there really reading it? I'm not talking about glancing at it while the television's playing. I'm not talking about sitting there with it in your lap open while you're snoozing. How often do you take God's Word, move into a quiet place and into a quiet spot, open it up, and spend a few minutes letting it really speak to your heart? How often do you have personal devotions? How often do you really read the Word of God? If you want to understand something, you got to read about it. You got to put some personal effort and some personal emphasis in it. It has to be personal. We talk about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, don't we? We talk about being born again. We talk about being saved. We talk about and we listen to the Billy Graham crusades and the Franklin Graham stuff. And we listen to all of this that's said about the personal relationships. Those personal relationships with Christ are very true. They are very real, but they don't stop right there. They begin there. And you have to have the attitude to listen, and you have to have the desire to read. Do you have a desire to read God's Word? Are you hungry? Well, we can't understand God's Word until we start growing as a Christian. Sadly, there are a lot of people sitting in churches this morning that have been there for 30 or 40 years, and they are as immature today as they were the day they got saved. There's nothing wrong with being an immature Christian when you get saved. As a matter of fact, we all start out as immature Christians when we get saved. But we ought to be growing. We ought to be putting forth some effort in our lives to grow and to build that walk with God, to get closer to Him. The disciples, they didn't grasp the words of Jesus until they realized He had risen. It was then when they had that aha moment. Christ had risen. And then they remembered the words of the Lord. But they still didn't understand them because they didn't start maturing until then. They spent over 3 years in the presence of Christ and they had their own ideas. They had their own impressions. They had their own general thoughts about what was going to happen. And they saw what Jesus done. They witnessed the miracles. They witnessed the feedings. They witnessed everything, the healings, the raising of the dead. They witnessed every bit of that. They stood right there and watched the power of God in front of them. And they still didn't understand. But when they showed up here at the tomb and He was gone, He was risen, they had an aha moment. What's it going to take in your life to have that aha moment? Personally, what's it going to take for you to start growing with Christ? Growing in your walk with God, growing and seeking a greater relationship with Him. Wanting to know more about Him. Wanting to know more about Jesus Christ. Wanting to know more about everything that is done and everything that has been said. What's it going to take? It can start today. If you haven't already experienced something in your life that aha moment has taken over and it is starting to bring you closer to Christ, it can start today. You can find yourself in the same spot that Peter and John and Mary Magdalene, they found themselves. They walked in and they saw. And John believed. But verse 9 says, "For as they knew not the Scripture," as they knew not is one Greek word, and it means understood. As they did not understand the Scripture, that He must rise again from the dead. They had their own ideas. They had their own thoughts. They had their own opinions. They were living under their own perception of Christianity, their own perception of what the Word of God was. And then in a moment's time, aha, they realized they didn't really get it. It wasn't what they thought. It wasn't what they realized. They needed to learn. They started growing and maturing that day. We can start growing and we can start maturing today. We can start getting closer to God today. What happens when we start growing? Well, let's back up before I get to that. We know we need to start listening. When we start listening, we're going to start reading. And when we start reading, we're going to start learning, and we're going to start understanding, and we're going to start growing. And when we start growing, we're going to start serving. I'm not talking about serving lunch, and I'm not talking about serving the body, the church body per se, the fellowship. Not in this case. There's a room for that through the office of the deacons and those, but when I'm talking about serving, I'm talking about the work of God. I'm talking about serving the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If we look at all four Gospels and then read through the event that we've had here, and all four Gospels record this. When we read through that, we realize the story doesn't end there. Proclaiming Jesus Christ begins right here where we're at today, at the empty tomb. It begins right there and it goes on through the book of Acts, the birth of the church. From the birth of the church, we read about the persecution of the church. And then we read about the dispersion of the church. Why? Why would God allow Jesus to die? And then He would resurrect Him and He would take Him into heaven. And why would God then allow the church to be birthed, and it would be a great big undertaking? 3,000, more than 3,000 were saved at one time in Jerusalem. That's a big church. So why would God do that and then allow it to be persecuted? The Apostle Paul was right in the middle of the persecution. The stoning of Stephen gives a very accurate account of the persecution of the church. Acts chapter 7, the whole chapter. It gives you a very vivid picture of how evil and how mean and how violent society was toward Christians. And it has not changed one bit in 2,000 years. Why? So the church could be dispersed. And that's exactly what happened to it. If you take time and go back and read your Bible, read that chapter 7, you will see that when the church was dispersed, when it was scattered out of Jerusalem, the whole church left except for the apostles. The apostles stayed in Jerusalem, but the rest of the church left. What did God have in store when He sent the church? The saved members, the average Joe, when He let them go, when He let them get pushed out of town, He sent them to spread the gospel. He sent them to do His work. They had been under the teaching of the apostles for quite some time. They had been teaching what they understood. And these folks that were being saved had an understanding of God's Word. These folks that had been saved here, they understood what they knew. And they had a desire to tell folks about Jesus. And God dispersed them throughout the area to do that. This morning, we may not have soldiers come in the door with axes and swords and spears and may not be pushing us out of this building. But we're getting ready to close this service. And as we close this service, we're going to disperse. Are you going to disperse to tell people about Jesus? Are you going to talk about the gospel? Are you going to talk about what you understand? Are you going to desire to understand more? When you disperse and when you leave this morning, what's going to be your purpose? What will happen the rest of the day? Will you be back tonight to learn and understand more? Will you look forward to coming back Wednesday to learn and understand more? How will it work in your life? We have that option. We have that privilege this morning. We have the privilege to disperse, and we have the privilege of telling others about Jesus. Are we going to take that privilege? Are we going to take that opportunity? That's up to you and I. That's up to us individually to decide. I can't do it for you and you can't do it for me. But as we close this morning, we can do it for each other. We can do it for ourselves. We can encourage one another. We can encourage one another to understand what we know about God's Word and understand how it applies in our life to meeting and fulfilling the gospel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the words that you have given this morning. Thank you for the understanding that you have provided. Thank you for the challenges that you have put before all of us. Help us, Heavenly Father, to grow. Help us to listen. Help us to read. Help us to walk closer to you and grow closer to you daily. And help us, Heavenly Father, in the end, to have a heart of serving you. Of serving you. And help us be stewards, good stewards of everything that you have given us. Of everything, especially your word. Because if we're not good stewards of your word, we're not going to be good stewards of anything else. Help us lead, guide, and direct us. Bring us back at the next appointed time tonight to study deeper your word, to understand it greater, to apply it richer into our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for coming this morning. I appreciate your time and your patience. I trust you have a safe afternoon. Travel in grace to all. Remember our services tonight.